which can be found on page 153 in your pew Bibles for those who would like to follow along. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today. So it shall be on the day when you shall cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law when you cross over, in order that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal, these stones, as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly." Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, "When you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And for the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, 'Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who distorts the justice due to an alien, orphan, and widow." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's skirt." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who lies with an animal." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father or of his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person." And all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them." And all the people shall say, "Amen."
Deuteronomy 27. One commentator named this chapter "Stones of Witness." I just thought that was real striking and made me think of Luke chapter 19, verses 39 and 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Our Lord will not be denied. So Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I commanded you today. Moses finished his preaching to the people of Israel, so there was nothing more to say other than the simple encouragement to do what God commanded. It wasn't enough for Israel to be hearers of the word. They must also be doers of the word. Doers of the word. Keep all the commandments. A daunting task, right? Actually, an impossible task. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what does Jesus say about being doers of the word? Matthew chapter 22. Verses 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love the Lord with all your mind, body, and soul. Love the neighbor as yourself. The entire law is summed up in this. Very helpful, very concise, but again, an impossible task. Romans 3:11 and 12 says, there is none who seeks for God, none who does good. Luke 18:19, Jesus himself said, no one is good but God alone. So now what? In order for God to be satisfied, his people must fulfill the law, be doers of the word. Again, Jesus, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 46. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. So the entire law and the demands of the prophets are fulfilled in this. Jesus died for our sins and on the third day rose from the dead. Jesus fulfilled the law, and through faith in him, he wants to credit his righteousness to us. That's how we satisfy the law. Praise God. Let's take our self-righteousness, our theology, our know-how, our works, our intellect, our busyness, and put it aside. We were created to worship the Lord and enjoy him forever. Let's start by being grateful and worshiping our Lord for taking our place in death and imparting to us resurrected life. Let us be doers of the word. Let us start, continue, and end with the worship of our Lord Jesus. Just a picture in the heaven, what the angelic beings are doing. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Worshippers, we were created to worship and enjoy the Lord. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 2 through 8. So it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law, when you cross over, so that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I am commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly. When Israel came into the promised land, they were to build a special altar. This altar was clearly to be used for sacrifice, but it was also to be a memorial of the law of God, which is contained here in the book of Deuteronomy. This altar was to be made with uncut stones that did not get an iron tool used on them. This was commanded because God did not want the glory of a stone carver to be the center of attention at his altar. To God goes all the glory. The beauty of this altar would be found only in the provision of God, not in any human display. These stones were to be whitewashed with lime so all the words of God's law could be easily seen. Anything we can do to make God's word more accessible to others is a good thing. It is our job to present the word of God to others, to make it accessible and understandable. So a memorial of God, something to remind us of him. Praise God, you know, instead of whitewashed stones, right? We have a book now. And obviously a sacred book. It's so common, it's all over, but it's just such a blessing to have the Word of God. What else was I thinking? The cross, right? A memorial. I mean, all you have to do is look at that, and it's like, everything's right there. The life and death, the resurrection of our Lord, all symbolized in that. A wonderful memorial. How about personal testimonies, right? We all have one of those, what God's done in our life, what he's doing. A memorial. How about the law burned in our heart and the gifting of the Holy Spirit? Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Amazing, the gifting of the Holy Spirit and the law in our heart. What a memorial the Lord has set up. Today we celebrate the Lord's table, right? Here's the altar. The Lord has provided the sacrifice, symbolized his body and his blood. Now we are to partake and rejoice for the Lord. An amazing memorial to remind us of God. Once again, let us start with worship. Let us come to his table. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are fulfilled in this. Jesus died for our sins and on the third day rose from the dead. Doers of the word, worship of our Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy 27. Verses 9 and 10. Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandments and his statutes which I commanded you today. Much of Deuteronomy is written after the same pattern as ancient agreements between kings and their subjects. Here, the idea is clear. God is the king, and the people of Israel are his subjects. He has told them what they may expect from him, and in return, what he expects of them. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God, therefore obey him and do his commandments. So Israel willingly submitted itself to the Lord God, recognizing him as their king. If the Lord is our king, then it is fitting that we obey him this way. Now this goes back to making the word plain and understandable. Jesus came to save the lost. And being lost, I need it as simple as it gets. We are the creation. He is our King, our Lord, and praise him. He is good and loving and better than anything we could ever imagine. We serve a good King who loves us. Loving enough that he left his glorious kingdom not only to rescue us, but to suffer and die for us. All hail King Jesus. At home, we just started a catechism, which is basically just a set of questions and answers that help to establish your core beliefs. And the first question is, what is our only hope in life and death? Amen. Kids, what is our only hope in life and death?
That we are not our own, but belong to God.
Amen. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. That, based on Romans 14, I like this translation. Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. Actually, 7 through 9. Romans 14, 7 through 9. For we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. He is Lord. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. Amen. All hail King Jesus. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 11 through 13. This is the division of the tribes between the two mountains. When Israel came into the promised land, they were to separate the tribes according to these two groups. One group would gather on Mount Gerizim, and they would bless the people. The other group would stand on Mount Ebal, and they would curse those who disobeyed the law of God. So this dramatic scene was fulfilled in the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verses 30 through 35. Joshua, chapter 8, verses 30 through 35. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel. As it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man had wielded an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. He wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. All Israel, with their elders and officers and their judges, were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. Then afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. In this Joshua's day, this happened after a bitter defeat, then a dramatic repentance and recovery. After the victory, Joshua wanted to do everything he could to walk in obedience. So he led the nation in obedience to this command in Deuteronomy 27. In this, Joshua was showing himself to be a man of the book, and Israel a people of the book. They would order their lives after God's word. Doers of the word. Worship of our Lord Jesus. Verses 14 through 26 in Deuteronomy chapter 27. We have the declaration of the curses. The Levite shall speak with a loud voice. This would make an impression. The Levites declared curses upon those who break the covenant, and people answered amen to every declaration. It is good to remind ourselves that the word amen means something. It means so be it. Every amen was a conscious agreement with the declaration of a curse. This week, Clara said she feels bad, like she's not going to heaven when she's rude to someone. And we told her it's a good thing to feel bad about doing something wrong. Because when we break the law that God has not only put in this book, but has placed in our heart, it convicts us. And then we have the opportunity to turn to God. And God will forgive us and tell us we are accepted and that we are going to heaven, not because we do good, but because he says we will if we believe in him. So every cursing has the opportunity to turn into worship. And to that I say amen. Life begins at the altar. Want to find peace? Leave your bitterness, anger, resentment, depression, and turn in worship to our King Jesus. Let's say you're fearful. Turn to God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and part of 18. 1 John chapter 4, 15 to 18. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What do you do with your fear? You take it to the Lord. Perfect love casts out fear. God is love. Do not fear. You will not be judged or punished because in Christ we are accepted. Curses turned into worship. So the Levites declare and the people agree to curses upon those who break God's law. Curses upon idolaters, those who make any carved or molded image. Curses upon those who dishonor their parents, the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. I mean, right there, we're all guilty, ain't it? Curses upon those who steal, the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. Curses upon those who are cruel, the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. Curses upon the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Curses upon those who disobey God's sexual standards. Curses upon the violent, the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Curses upon those who cheat the courts, the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Finally, if one believes they have escaped these curses, there was a curse pronounced upon he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. Verse 26. Even if somehow we have escaped all the previous curses, none can conform to all the words of this law. When all are found guilty before the law, and it is clear that they cannot conform to all the words of this law, there is still hope. A clue to this hope is found in the beginning of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 27, where God declared that an altar be built, not upon Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, but upon Mount Ebal, the mountain of cursing. We need the covering and intoning the sacrifice exactly at the point where our sin and failures are revealed. And God's curse is pronounced on our sin. It is important to recognize that we in Jesus Christ do not have an old covenant relationship with God. We expect to be blessed, not because of our obedience, but because of our position in Jesus. The curse we deserved was laid upon him. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 10 through 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in the book, in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Amen. Though there may be an inherent curse of consequences in our disobedience, or even the correcting hand of God under the new covenant, he does not punish us or curse us, because all that we deserve, past, present, and future, was poured out upon Jesus. All hail King Jesus. When we read and study the Bible, we need to remember how Jesus fulfilled the scriptures so that we are not burdened living a life of works, and so that God gets all the praise, glory, and worship he deserves. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the Almighty. We love you.